John chapter 20. For us, it's been a week since Easter, isn't it? What happened at Easter? He rose from the dead. The first man in history. The first man in history to rise, to truly be resurrected. There's been people who have been resuscitated. Modern medicine today is able to resuscitate some people, but no one has been resurrected and transformed by the Spirit of God, amen? Like Jesus was. So for us, it's been a week, but as we approach this passage, it's been a day. We're here on Easter evening, so I want us to go back a week to Easter, and we are here Easter evening. John chapter 20, starting in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Let's pray. Father, may you bless your word this morning. O Lord, may you work in the hearts of everyone here. Banish the distractions from our minds. Banish the headaches we have, or the sleepiness in our bodies, or the things we're thinking about wanting to do after church. Please, O Lord, meet us here today in your word in a new way. Transform us, we pray, in our hearts and in our lives, that we would not walk in here and walk out without having our lives changed. We pray this through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you living a lie? Are you living a lie? There was a time in college I woke up one day and my fear was that I was living a lie. That all the deepest beliefs, my desires, my joys were false. It's a tremendous thing. Imagine, some of you might be feeling that today. Am I living a lie? Is my whole life, am I seeking peace in things that can't permanently give me peace? Am I seeking peace in things that can be taken away in an instant? Confidence in my family, confidence in my house, confidence in my job. Those things can go like that. My health, my image. You know how quickly on the street someone can tarnish your image. Am I seeking peace in the wrong things? Is my life a lie? This happens, and maybe you've had this experience. This happens to people who fall in and out of love. They fall in love. They think, "Oh, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. It will always be this way. It's so wonderful. I'm writing songs and poetry and love letters, and all we want to do is be together all the time, every day, 24/7. We just want to be together, and it pains me so much to be apart from you just for an hour." And then one day, they wake up, scratch their heads, and say, "What happened? Was it all just a lie?" And they can discover what true love really is. But They ask that question, have I been living a lie? Because it's so intense, and then, boom, it's gone. Am I living a lie? The disciples may have felt like that at this time. They are fearful. They have scattered. They have abandoned Jesus Christ. Have they seen their forsaken Lord get beaten up by Roman soldiers? Get spat upon and cursed by Jesus' own people? They've seen Him abandoned. And finally, the ultimate humiliation, Jesus Himself, the Messiah, the one who claimed to be God, being lifted up on the cross, and not saving Himself from the cross, but dying on the cross. How can this be? Was it all for nothing? Did we leave our families? Did we leave our jobs? I mean, Jesus came up to them and said, follow me. What did they do? They left their boats out in the water. They followed Him. Amazing. How many of us would do that? 3 years later, He dies on the cross. Was it all for nothing? Have we been living a lie? And now they're afraid of what the Jews might do to them. Is someone going to knock on the door? And they lock the doors. Jesus comes into the midst of this storm of fear, of doubt, of cowering, and says what? He comes into their midst alive. He has risen. And what does He say? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Jesus, the risen Savior, comes to give us His peace. He comes to give us in this passage His power. And He comes to send us out to proclaim. 3 P words, very easy to remember. Peace, power, and proclamation. First here, He comes to bring us His peace. You long for peace. Any of you who struggle with depression or have struggled with depression in the past or who struggle with anxiety and are just troubled, it can be all-consuming. You can't see beyond yourself. You're just these feelings, these conflicting thoughts. You don't want to get up out of the bed in the morning. You long. What do you long for? Peace. But we all long for peace, don't we? We don't like tragedy. We don't like war. We don't like the violence on our streets. We want peace. Now, Bill Cosby has this tremendous insight, and I promise you this will be the last Bill Cosby illustration for a while. Bill Cosby has this tremendous insight. This is what parents want. He says they're not interested in justice. They're interested in quiet. Peace and quiet. So they, after a little while, maybe at the beginning you have these ideals as a parent, you're interested in justice, but after a little bit, you just want quiet. You don't want to sort out what's happening between this person. You want quiet. We want peace. We want quiet. We long for rest. We long to, you know, work is a wonderful thing, but at the end of the day, it's good to come down and have that peace, that rest. Jesus rose to make this statement, peace be with you. And it's the definitive statement, peace be with you. Do you long for peace? Do you long for peace? Is there anybody out there? Do you long for peace? Jesus says to you today, to His disciples, to those who have been united to Him in faith, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when when they locked the doors for fear of the Jews, the doors were locked, they were bolted. They were afraid of whoever was going to come through that door. But the one person they never, and remember, This is His disciples. He told them what was going to happen. They ignored Him. The women came and said, He's risen. Peter might have even come at this point and said, He's risen. But what did they say to the women? Their words seemed to them like nonsense. The disciples, again, they were the first skeptics. The disciples, one group of people that needed convincing, it was the disciples. So, how does Jesus do it? The doors are locked. He appears. The implication seems to be that Jesus miraculously appears to them. But Luke tells us they're all afraid because they think it's a ghost. They think it's a ghost. They think it's an apparition, a specter, something unearthly. Oh no. And some critical people who look at this path, it's just a hallucination. But a hallucination doesn't happen in a room filled with at least 10 people. At least 10 people. He appears to his disciples and says, "How you doing?" Now seriously, this is what, verse 19, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." This is a common greeting back then. It's like saying, "Hi, how are y'all? How you doing? What's up?" That's what it's like. And yet, it's so unlike that because John, the gospel writer here, has laid so much meaning upon this phrase. Jesus, the risen Savior, coming to His disciples, coming to us and saying, "Peace be with you." If there's one person, so in a sense, He's not just saying, "Hi, how are you?" He knows how they are. He knows they need Him to appear. He knows they need Him to say this to Him. And when Jesus says it, He means it. Amen? When He says, "Peace be with you," there have never ever been words like that before uttered in the history of this world. The one who is dead, the one who seemed defeated. A dead Messiah is no Messiah at all. But now there is a Messiah to show that He wasn't in the business of just conquering the Romans and establishing an earthly political empire. He was in the business of transforming history forevermore by dying for our sins, by conquering death, by conquering the devil definitively, so that everyone that came before Him would be forgiven if they had their faith in Him. And anyone who came after Him would be forgiven if they had their faith in Him. Peace be with you. He comes to say, "Peace be with you," and to alleviate our fear. You know, it's not like, I mean, sometimes medication can help with some of our brain imbalances and ailments. Sometimes there's a real need for medicine. But it's not like every one of us should go around popping a pill whenever we feel afraid or anxious. Here, verse 20 shows us how Jesus takes care of their fear, how He takes care of their anxiety. He says, "Peace with you, be with you." Then what does He do? Because we like to see, but seeing was not enough to believe for the disciples. He says, "Look at my scars. Look at my scars. It's really me." In other passages and in the following passage, they'll be able to put... Can you imagine that? They needed Thomas in the passage after this one. John has to put his fingers. "I'm not going to believe it until I put my fingers in his scars." So He appears to them. He goes above and beyond. He says, "Look at my scars for you." And what's the response? He's overjoyed. They are overjoyed. I'm sure Jesus was overjoyed too. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Overjoyed. Have you ever been overjoyed? Can you have too much joy? I mean, literally, that's what the word means. Can you have too much joy? Joy that's, you know, the joy that the Bible describes is spilling out all over the place. It's so contagious and you're so full of it that you can't hold it back. It's just joy is emanating. And you know people in this congregation who walk around constantly overjoyed. It's emanating from them. And you just want to be around those people and hang around them. They have the joy of the Lord. The disciples, once they realize it's Him, they see Him, they look and they see the scars, they are overjoyed. Something else that's amazing about this passage, and I just can't get over this. They're overjoyed. Think about this. Jesus, in His resurrected body. We're talking about, you know, when you hope to be raised one day, right? Amen? You hope to be raised from the dead one day. Amen? You hope to get rid of that body that's ailing you. Maybe if you're young, you're not experiencing this yet. And get rid of all the physical pain, all the sickness that you're going through, and have this new body. This wonderful body, this body that's perfect. No more pimples, no more warts. This is a perfect body, a resurrected body. But listen to this, look at Jesus' resurrected body. Is it perfect? Well, in a sense, yes. Resurrected body, but look, He shows them, so they know it's Him, His scars. And think about this. His resurrected body will have those scars for all eternity. You realize that? His love was so great for you. His love was so great for His disciples that now His resurrected body, the perfect body, He has scars. If you saw Him right now, if He appeared right here, you could put your hand in His side. Sin did that. He was willing to pay the price for us. That should make us overjoyed. Amen? That should... What's the price of peace that He brings? It's the scars in His body for all eternity. It's not only the humiliation of going through all this, but it's the scars that are there. He did that for you so that you could know peace with God. Amen? Amen? Secondly here, He brings us the power of His presence. He brings us the peace. He brings us the power of His presence. You are no longer alone. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt alone? You can be surrounded by people and still feel completely alone. I used to, in college, go off into the wilderness and wander by myself because I wanted to be alone. But when you're alone, and you're really alone, your mind begins to play tricks on you, doesn't it? Your mind begins to work against your rational faculties. There were two places I liked to go and wander in the forest. One was off the Appalachian Trail, so occasionally I'd bump into people. The other one was way, way out where there were no trails, and I knew I'd never bump into people. And I'd go out and stay overnight, and I'm telling you, if you're not used to being alone like that, I had a friend who did the Appalachian Trail by himself. He was going to do the whole thing. He lasted 2 weeks. He started starving for any interaction with any people. Jesus, the resurrected Messiah, comes to you, says, "Peace be with you," and gives you the power of His presence so that He may send you out. Verse 21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Peace be with you." He says, how important is this peace? He says it twice in this passage. Peace be with you. And then He says it a second time. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He's sending His disciples on a mission. See, now the real work, they've been preparing for 3 years. Now the real, they're wondering, is it all for nothing? Was our life a lie? Did we follow this man for nothing? Was he just a man? He appears to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." He's not asking them. See, some people treat this as, well, now you're going in Jesus' place and you're taking over Jesus' work. It's not like that. He wants you now to partner with Him, to continue His work. But it's not like Jesus went up to heaven on vacation. You know what I mean? Like, He's not up there. You wonder, well, He's up in heaven now, and what's He doing? He's not taking a vacation. He asked them to partner with Him. No, not ask. He commands them to join Him. So as the Father sent me to you, so I am now sending you. A tremendous responsibility, isn't it, people of God? So I am sending you. That is something that for us, if you claim to be His disciple, listen carefully, He is sending you. He is sending you as the Father sent Him. Now, this tells us that you now have power, real power from God, the power of His authority. If you go in His name to share His love, to share His peace, you have His stamp of approval. So some of you might have found, if you did share with someone this week, He is risen. I found it surprisingly hard. I mean, I'm getting into situations all the time and sharing the gospel, but to actually consciously go out there and, okay, I'm going to share He is risen with my neighbors and my friends. It was a tough thing for me. But here, what would have been helpful for you and for me to keep in mind is, first, you are sent with the power of His authority. You go for God. Amen? Jesus is sending His disciples with the power of God's authority. And secondly here, you go with His presence. You are not alone in your mission. You can call it that. This is one of the things, you know, he doesn't tell them when He appears to them, you know, go home and cook a dinner. Let's go cook. Let's go have a party. What does He do? He says, I am sending you. He emphasizes the sending of His disciples, and He is sending the church. See, we've got to be doing things. Church is not just a let's all come together and say hi and join each other on Sundays. Church is an active, we're on a quest. We're being sent out by God, amen, with His authority and with His presence. And how does Jesus assure them of His presence? What does He do? He sends them, He gives them His Spirit. What does it say here? And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You might want to ask, you know, those of you who know your Bibles and know about Pentecost and the sending of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost might wonder, well, wait a second, you know, here He's sending it here, but doesn't He tell them to wait to be clothed from power? What's going on here? And you can kind of look at it this way. You can look at it, Calvin says, here they're sprinkled with the Spirit. There, at Pentecost, it's a waterfall. Here, you can look at it as the conception. There, it's the birth of the church. He really, it seems in this passage as if He's really, if this isn't just symbolism, but He's really giving them the Spirit. He's empowering them to go out with His presence. See, Jesus isn't just absent then. Amen? He is, amen? He is with you through His Spirit. He breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Does that make it a little easier? You're not just standing alone. You're not just going out there. And it's good for us to struggle with. I have His authority. I have His presence. These things really give me power as I'm sent out. Because now you have His presence. Now you have His authority. You're not standing there. You're not some lunatic. Many people think you're crazy. That's a hard thing to stomach. But you're not just some lunatic screaming out on the corner. You're not just holding up signs walking around or have the megaphone walking around. You're sent out in His name, in His power, in His authority, in His presence to proclaim His peace. To proclaim His peace. He sends us to proclaim His peace. Yesterday, I came home from, I was at the work day a little bit, and I came home and told my wife, you know, I've been telling everybody about this Indonesian restaurant we went to Friday night. I must have told 15 people today. And many of you are smiling because you were told yesterday about how great the food was and everything. I was just telling, because it didn't seem like there were a lot of people there, and I want to spread the word about this great place. And so I was telling everybody I possibly could. The food was great! Wow! What a wonderful thing! And I wanted to share it with everybody. But the sad thing was, that was easy. I kept on talking about it to people. You couldn't shut me up. And then we had part two Saturday night of the leftovers. But why is it so easy? You know, some of you, what's a new movie that's out that some of you went and saw and liked? The Dragon Trainer, or what's that movie? The one about the dragons and the Vikings, is that the... But, you know, if you like that movie, I had a friend tell me, oh, it was a good movie. You're talking about it. If you have a movie you like, you're talking about it to people, aren't you? Why is it so difficult for us, then, to share the gospel? I think in some ways, we haven't gone through step one and two. We haven't been filled with His peace. We're still afraid. You know, if you're afraid of sharing the gospel with someone, go back to step one. Receive His peace. Then move on to step two. Realize that you are sent in the power of His presence and His authority. You're not alone. And then move on to step three, which is just get out there and do it. And the power of this message is unparalleled because it brings true peace. Look at verse 23. Listen very carefully. This is real power. This is real power for His church, for us. If you forgive anyone his sins, if you forgive, He's talking to you. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. He sends you with the message of the gospel that you can declare, as His disciples did, that they people can know His forgiveness. Amen? People can truly know His forgiveness. This is real power. That you can say to someone, now it's not like this. It's not like, well, I've got my forgiveness bottle and I've got some limited amount and I can dispense it on some people. You're forgiven. But, you know, back there, you're not forgiven. And over here, you're not forgiven. It's not like that at all. We forgive based on what? His authority. Is God liberal or uptight about His forgiveness and His grace? He's liberal about His forgiveness. Amen? Because if He wasn't, I know that this crowd would look a little bit smaller, wouldn't it? He distributes His forgiveness, His grace, His peace liberally. So that you can now walk up to people and say, if you confess your sins before Him, you're struggling with guilt, you're wondering what your life is about, here the risen Savior comes and says, have peace with me. Have peace with me. If you confess your sins and repent of them and throw yourself upon the mercy of Jesus Christ, guess what? No matter what the devil tries to tell you, no matter what anyone else tries to tell you, you at that moment are forgiven. Don't start saying, well, I've got to get my life in order before I get forgiven. You'll never get it in order. You're going to be spinning around for the rest of your life. Now is the time to receive His forgiveness. Amen? Now is the time where you can truly know. If you're struggling with guilt today, maybe you're a Christian and you're struggling with guilt today. If you go to Him and ask His forgiveness, you are truly forgiven. No questions asked. No, see, sometimes we want to kind of work it off. You know, I don't want to go to Him in my devotions because, you know, I haven't been a good boy recently. Maybe if I'm a little bit better, then it'll be more acceptable. No, that's what he came to free us from. Our works don't get us any closer to him. It's his grace and forgiveness. If there is sin in your life, if you are struggling with guilt, if you know you've done wrong in your life, and none of us are perfect, receive his forgiveness. He's waiting with open arms. He's waiting to embrace you and to say to you definitively, peace be with you. We need peace, don't we? Proclaim his peace. Proclaim this. Your message is simple. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. You can find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. You can be cleansed of all your sin. You can have all those things that are nagging your conscience be washed away, the slate wiped clean. You can have his righteousness credited to your account. Some of you have bad bank accounts. How would you like Jesus' bank account? Perfect. Perfect credit score. None of us have perfect credit scores. I don't even know if one exists. We either have good or bad credit scores. Jesus has a perfect credit score. And that's the only thing that makes us acceptable to God. Do we need peace like this in our neighborhoods? We need peace like this in our neighborhoods. There's in Indonesia, there was a on the island of Irian Jaya. Perhaps you've heard about the Peace Child story. There was a man in the 60s and 70s. He went to these tribes which were cannibals and headhunters. You know, it sounds in some ways we're kind of like who would eat human flesh? But we're devouring each other out in the streets, aren't we? We can relate to that. There are some neighborhoods some of you don't walk through because you're afraid. We're devouring each other on the streets. There's violence on the streets. There's warring streets out there. Blocks staking out their territory. Here he went to a situation in Indonesia where there were these three tribes. And they were in isolation from one another. Because the minute they would come in contact with one another, war would start. So how did they solve it? Let's ignore each other's existence. They have that part of the forest, we'll have this field, we'll have that lake, and we'll ignore that each other exists. Well, this missionary comes, he learns the language, he begins talking to them about the peace of Jesus Christ, and what happens? He begins trying to bring them together, but they start fighting again. So he says, okay, I was wrong to come here, I'm going to leave. You know, I can't do anything about this. He knew that he couldn't bring reconciliation to those three tribes. When he was about to leave, one of the tribal leaders comes to him and says, look, we'll sit down with the other leaders of the other tribes and we'll try to work something out. And what happens? The only way they could dwell in peace with one another and put themselves in a position where they heard the gospel, Christ's peace, is if one child was given to one tribe and another child was given to the other tribe. And as long as those children live, they were called the peace child. As long as those children lived, they would not attack the other tribe. But the minute that child died, it was war again. So here the tribes get together, and you can just imagine the scene for a second. Parents bringing their children, and one of them has to give their child up. Nobody was budging. They were staying back. Women were crying because they were afraid that they'd have to give up their children. Then finally, after this tense hour, a man brings up his only son with tears in his eyes and gives him to the other tribe, trusting his enemy. Would you... some of you have rival blocks. Would you trust your rival block with one of your children? That's what it was like. He gave his only son to this enemy so that they could have peace between the tribes. And then the missionary said, that's the gospel. Jesus, God, did that for all of us. He gave his one and only son as a peace child for us, to bring peace between who? Not just people, but between us, the enemies of God, and God. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the one who has scars on his hands for all eternity, to bring you peace. We need that kind of peace. See, that's the only thing. Programs may make subtle differences in our neighborhoods, might help us a little bit. But the only thing that's going to bring true transformation to among your neighbors, among your families, among your friends, is if they know the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the message you go with. That Jesus came, died for our sins, was raised on the third day, overcame our evil, so that He could truly stand before us and say, peace be with you. And send you in His power, in His presence out, to say to everyone, and you can say it with saying the explicit words or not the explicit words. You're always sending someone a message by your words and actions. Are you sending them the message, peace be with you. Christ has been raised. He has given me peace. I know He is alive and He can give you true and lasting fruit, reconciliation and forgiveness in your life today. Let us be sent out with that. Amen? Father, we come before You. Please, renew our hearts in Your peace. If there are those who do not know Your peace, may You work Your peace in their hearts this morning. And send us out with as messengers, as Your disciples, with that peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.